Sort of appreciate your presence, be one tonight. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad you're here. We invite you to come back and be with us any opportunity that you might have. Appreciate the three songs that Paul selected that we sang this evening. First is "I Stand in All of Thee." We'll see how apt that is and how it is very central to what we're going to talk about this evening. "Guide me, O Thou, great Jehovah." Likewise, one of the center themes is the thing we want to talk about tonight. And finally, and I hope we sing together in great humility, when we sing the song together, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." You want to turn your Bibles back to the book of Micah. We want to start tonight from a passage in Micah chapter 6. We recognize Micah as one of the prophets speaking to Judah and Israel. Preceding context, we see that God had a controversy with both Israel and Judah, and the prophet is addressing that. And as we come here to Micah chapter 6, there's a question that is asked. It said, "Wherewith shall I come before Jehovah, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Would Jehovah be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Notice verse 8. "He has shown thee, O man, what is good. What doth Jehovah require of thee but to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God?" Many of you know Lynn Hedrick. Passed away a number of years ago. Lynn was the first one that I studied with him from a prophet some 30 years ago who impressed me with this passage. This was one of his favorite passages in the Minor Prophets. And the more I studied that with him, and since then I've become to appreciate this passage more and more for what the prophet is saying. This night I want to look at only one aspect of this, and that's the very last thing that he says in verse 8. What is it that Jehovah requires of thee? It says, "And to walk humbly with thy God." We want to look tonight, first of all, at what it means. What was the prophet saying to them? And more importantly, what does the prophet say to us? What would he have us to understand about what it means to be walking humbly with thy God? Let me suggest, first of all, that one of the necessary implications is that I must first acknowledge God. Before I can walk humbly with God, I must acknowledge that God is. Hebrews 11:6, a very familiar passage. "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Notice what Paul says. He must believe that he is. Not all do that. Psalm 14:1 says, "A fool has said in his heart, there is no God." We could well spend the next 20 or 30 minutes in Job chapter 38. Job 38 is the response of God back to Job. And in that response, we see a clear presentation of God. We see how that he is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient. He knows all. And he's ever-present, even eternally. And so in that response to Job, in Job chapter 38, we see the presentation of God. For us to walk humbly with God, we must do, as the song said tonight, we must truly stand in awe of God. If you and I have never gone to God in prayer at any point in our time and actually trembled, I might suggest that we have never really stood in awe of God. From heads nodding, some of you have done that. Probably in a time of great need. A time of distress, perhaps. We stand in awe of this great God. The beginning point, if I am to walk humbly with God. And so as we teach our children, perhaps the first verse they learn, that in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. Certainly, to walk humbly with God means that I accept that without any reservation whatsoever. If a friend or co-worker asks me, "Hey, do you believe in God?" We very forthrightly and boldly say, yes, I believe in Jehovah God. The very beginning point of our walking humbly with God. We believe in Him as the Creator, and as Paul says in Acts 17 and verse 28, as he speaks on Mars Hill, that He's not only the Creator, but He's the Sustainer of all life. To that, James adds in chapter 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift comes from above. So walking humbly with God means that I, first of all, acknowledge God. I would say that not all have done that. And so we challenge ourselves tonight. Am I ready to walk humbly with God? It begins with us simply acknowledging with all of our heart, with all of our faith, that yes, I do believe that God is and that He's a Creator. So we ask ourselves, are we walking humbly with God? Let me suggest a close companion with that is that we accept God's Word. We readily read, study, and yield ourselves to what we find within the pages of God's Word. The second song that Paul led tonight, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. God gives us that guidance through His Word. I would suggest that most of us here would have no reservation that we believe that God is, that we believe that God's eternal. We certainly believe that God is Creator. I believe it may become more difficult for us in walking humbly with God when it comes down to being ready to have God teach us His ways, as we sang just a moment ago. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the psalmist says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. And so I first stand in awe of God. I stand in fear of God. I stand in respect of God. And then I look into His Word. If I walk humbly with God, I acknowledge God, and then I acknowledge His Word. Not all do. The proverb writer tells us that. That the scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And so we cannot assume that all walk humbly with God by acknowledging His Word, because most do not. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to know knowledge. Apply your heart to know knowledge. Some of us had the privilege to know Brother and Sister Lee. Some of us well. A lot of knowledge there, wasn't there? I would ask Judy, but she would be biased and rightfully so. But I often think about them. One time Sister Lee had taught a class, and a lady commented in Betty's presence about, wow, I wish I could teach a class like Sister Lee. And somebody responded, perhaps you can if you study like Sister Lee has studied. And I thought that was a good response. We can become powerful in God's Word. We can become wise in the application of God's Word if we allow ourselves to be filled with God's Word and if we submit to that. Paul told Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to recitation, to doctrine. He says, Timothy, give attention. He said, be diligent. Take time to do that. A familiar passage with too many of us back in the book of Ezra. As Ezra came back and found things still not as they ought to be among God's people. One thing that Ezra found when he came back was that they were not acknowledging God's law. He found that the people of God were not walking humbly with God because they had neglected a reading of His Word. They had did, as it were, they laid God's Word aside and simply were not acknowledging God and His Word as they should have. They were rejecting the guidance of God's Word. If I'm to walk humbly with God, I must spend time and study, and then I submit myself to the teachings of God's law. In this great passage in Nehemiah chapter 8, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, and he read from early morning until midday. One might say how tiring that would be. But that's an attitude probably prevalent. from morning until midday, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. If I'm walking humbly before, with my God, it means that I am being attentive. It means that I am humbly spending time in God's Word, ready to apply those precepts that I find therein. And so we ask again, are we walking humbly with God? We are, if we are submitting very carefully to His Word. And as we say again in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. It's a humility before God. It's a standing in awe of God that's going to be the motivating force for us coming into God's Word and giving the time and the diligence that it requires to truly understand what His will for us is. And yet, that's a requirement if you and I are going to walk humbly with our God. Certainly, if I walk humbly with God, it means I've got to have faith. As I have studied through the years, it became more and more apparent to me that faith is not easy. Faith is not easy. When I was a much younger man, I had difficulty understanding why some people just did not readily believe the Bible. Why some people did not readily accept what I'd been taught from a youth, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He came and He died on the cross. And yet I came to realize that faith and what the New Testament teaches us is not necessarily an easy thing. It requires us to believe in things that are supernatural. It requires us to believe that a heavenly being came to earth, took on the form of man, lived as a man, suffered as a man, and died as a man, was put to death, and then arose and return to His heavenly position. That requires an extreme amount of faith. So we admire the eunuch on the road that day when he said, "Yes, I believe." But yet to walk humbly with God means that I do believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Again in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to walk humbly with our God unless we have that deep, abiding faith in God that cannot be shaken. That cannot be shaken. As we sit here tonight, we know of many who once sat in this audience right here, who have fallen away. They no longer walk humbly with their God. They no longer walk humbly with God. Perhaps some have lost the faith. May we, as we look down the road, a year, 5 years, 10 years, be ever more resolved tonight that we are going to walk humbly with our God in faith. So that in the coming days, no matter what may come our way, our faith will not waver. The next reference in John chapter 20, you recall that Thomas was not present when Jesus first appeared to the apostles. And so he did not see the prints in his hand nor his side where the sword was placed. And Thomas said, "Why, unless I see, I'm not going to believe." When Jesus came back a second time, He showed Thomas the prints in his hand and his side. Thomas then said, "My Lord and my God." At that moment in time, Thomas did have the faith that he needed to walk humbly with his God. For you and I to walk humbly with our God, we must have that unwavering faith. So we ask ourselves tonight, are we walking humbly with our God as we walk by that faith? Finally, on this particular point, if I'm walking humbly with God, it requires obedience. Christ, for example, Hebrews 5, verse 8, a passage known by many, that though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which he suffered. What Judah and Israel had done was to fall by the wayside. They lost their faith. They lost their direction. And they became a disobedient and rebellious people. They were no longer walking humbly with their God. If we are walking humbly with God, it means that we readily and without hesitance and without question submit ourselves to His will, even when I may not fully understand all that it's telling me. I believe the older we get, the more we realize that there are going to be things in God's Word that we will go to our grave, maybe not fully comprehending. Yet by faith, I become obedient to all that God tells me, even though I may never gain a full understanding of that particular point. Jesus was obedient even unto death. That hour when He approached His death on the cross, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. There's the example of faith. Even to the point of death. The writer in Revelation, be thou faithful unto death. You be faithful even if it requires your life. We read of Antipas in Revelation chapter 2. The letter says, remember my faithful witness, Antipas. He's the only one mentioned in the book of Revelation who died. Many others did. They died for the cause of Christ. They died for their obedience to the faith. Antipas died because he was walking humbly with his God. He accepted God as a creator. Antipas accepted Christ as his son. He walked by faith. He walked in obedience. And he gave his life as a faithful witness. The book testifies to the fact that Antipas walked humbly with God. A very succinct statement back in Genesis 6, verse 22 about Noah. It simply says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Summed up in that one passage is the fact that I know that he was walking humbly with God. James 4, 6. God resists the proud, but gives grace or favor to the humble. And so we ask ourselves a question again. Are we walking humbly with our God in obedience? So we take our mind back to our text. The answer had been given. It says, you've got to walk humbly with thy God. And so we ask ourselves that question tonight. Are we walking humbly with our God? We then ask this question. Are we walking humbly with our brethren? Now one sees a natural progression. Is it truly possible to walk humbly with my brethren unless I first learn to walk humbly with God? Certainly not. A very obvious prerequisite in walking humbly with my brethren is first learning what it means to walk humbly with God. It means I've accepted God. It means I've acknowledged His Word as a guidance for me. It means that I have yielded to God in complete and faithful obedience. Now, once I've done that, let me suggest then that I understand and I'm able to walk humbly with my brethren. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, reading there in verse 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you, gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. For God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I emphasize the phrase, all of you gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. The real secret to walking humbly with one another as brethren is very simply to put on the character of Christ. That's what Paul said in Philippians 2 verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It's interesting to me that there are many verses like this that we've memorized, yet it takes us several years later to finally appreciate maybe all that that passage is saying. What a powerful passage. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." If you back up to verse 2 of that chapter, "Make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, counting other better than himself. Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others." And so the key to walking humbly with one another is we put on the character of Christ. And we esteem each other better than ourselves. We add to this the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, "Walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Notice how Paul echoes the sentiments stated earlier. And so here is the character of Christ. He says himself that "I am meek and lowly in heart." It was a prayer of Jesus, as we see there in John 17 and verse 21, "that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee." As he comes to the conclusion of that prayer in John chapter 17. That was a prayer of Jesus for unity among his disciples. As Jesus was preparing to leave this earth, he had been with them. He was present with them to provide them that unifying force. But now he knew that he was going away, and so we understand his prayer. He knew how important it was for brethren to dwell together in unity, and thus his prayer to that end. "That they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee." Certainly, putting on the character of Christ. Putting each other first certainly is a key to walking humbly with our brethren. A couple of years ago, we studied a lesson together about being a servant. Walking humbly with one another means that we put on the character of Christ and we take upon ourselves, we clothe ourselves with service for one another. After he washed the apostles' feet in John 13, he simply asked, "Do you understand what I've done?" Jesus wanted them to understand, his apostles to understand, the importance of service. As we walk humbly with one another, we do so as we recognize that we truly are to be servants of one another. If you go back to Philippians chapter 2, "Have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That he thought the equality be not a thing to be clung to or grasped to, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. Jesus gave us that example of being a servant. John 13:35, he says, "By this, that is by the love that we demonstrate toward one another, all men shall know that ye are my disciples." So it becomes a defining characteristic, if we are walking humbly with one another, a defining characteristic. How do we know that? How do those outside these walls know that we are his disciples? Jesus says, hereby men shall know if you love one another. And so here's another key to walking humbly with one another as brethren. Just picking out one verse there in 1 Corinthians 13, we're familiar with it. "Love suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not provoked." Easily stated in just a few seconds, sometimes more difficult to put into action. And yet if we are to walk humbly with one another, That is the secret. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, not on the screen, but look there in verse 12. But we beseech you, brethren, to know them and labor among you and over you in the Lord, admonish them, to esteem them exceeding highly in love for the work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. See that none render unto anyone evil for evil, but always follow after that which is good, one toward another and toward all. There's an admonition for us. One of the keys to walking humbly before God and walking humbly with our brethren. Galatians 6:10, therefore we have opportunity to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith, Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 20. And so we look at this point. We look at whether or not we are walking humbly, not only with our brethren, but here with our friends and our neighbors. Made the point in John 13:35. By this all men shall know that you are Messiah if you love one another. To those who might come into our midst, it ought to be apparent to those who come into this assembly and sit with us and worship with us that we are brethren because we love one another. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, that's how we walk humbly, not only with our brethren, but we walk humbly with our friends and our neighbors. Even as the elders have solicited our help as we journey through the year 2011, become more diligent in reaching out to those who are lost. To do that successfully, I believe, requires walking humbly with our friends and our neighbors. It means we are humble. It means that even within we become servants. It means that we have our behavior excellent among them. And as we saw a moment ago, Galatians 6:10, that we have opportunity to do good unto all men. As those about us, our friends and neighbors, see that in us, they see the qualities of Christ in us as a servant, that's how we will gain people to Christ. We will win our friends and our neighbors with humility. With humility. As they see within us the true qualities and the qualities of being a servant, we can gain them through our humility. So it begins by walking humbly with God. Then we walk humbly with our brother, with one another. We clothe ourselves with humility to serve God faithfully. James 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. We sing a song with that sentiment in it. Jesus Himself says, come unto me, all your labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So tonight, we ask ourselves, you ask yourselves, are you ready to begin humbly walking with God? I would that each one of us leave here this evening with a complete and full resolve to walk humbly with God. I would that each one of us leave here tonight with a full resolve to walk humbly with one another as brethren. And I would tonight that we leave here with full resolve to walk with our friends and neighbors in humility. If we do this, we'll certainly be pleasing to God. If you're here tonight and subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.